Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good evening, I'm Mangino. Thank you very much for tuning in to KDKA Radio. It is in the beer garden, the most fun anybody can possibly have, listening to other people drink and talk about drinking beer. Gene Ripnicki, the host of In the Beer Garden, joining us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Gene, you are not here.
It's true.
It sounds like you're someplace very festive.
Possibly the truest statement ever stated in the history of radio. I am at D's Six Packs and Dogs in Regent Square, and I am at a Mad Elf vertical sampling in which we are sampling the last 6 years of Mad Elf side by side. If you can hear the audience.
I can hear them. I think they're at least through 4 or 5 at this point.
It's a pack house. And we're going to get ready to have our first guest.
Okay.
Tonight's special, we're going to be focusing exclusively on holiday beers, as would be appropriate to the situation. And we're going to guide our lovely audience through the beautiful beers of winter.
I'm looking forward to it. Before we get to the list of the guests and the very first beer, can you tell me a little bit more about this idea of six beers? Hold on.
Nope.
There you go.
I hear that.
There you go. Yeah, I know that you just heard that, and I apologize that you just heard that. I don't think you're going to hear it any longer. Are you there?
I'm still here.
Okay. Tell us about this tapping that you were at, and this six-year vertical Mad Elf tapping event. Are you telling me that there are different varieties of Mad Elf that have occurred over the past 6 years?
Not so much. I mean, nature and terroir kind of dictates year to year the harvest of grain. Mad Elf contains 5 different types of Pennsylvania cherries. If you recall, nearly a year ago, more than a year ago, I had the distinct pleasure of drinking Mad Elf straight off the bottling line at Trogues Brewery in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
With John Trogner. This year, we're doing something a little different. Every year, D's Dogs in Regent Square, they buy 6 barrels of Mad Elf. They hide 5 of them, and they tap one of them with a small, handful of ones from each previous year.
Okay.
So it's the same beer. It's very similar in color, but aging, as this beer is a Belgian style, and Belgium's right next to France, and they apply some winemaking techniques to making beer. This beer's coming in 11% ABV.
Oh, wow.
Has 5 different types of Pennsylvania cherries, and it's made with Pennsylvania wildflower honey.
Okay.
And it ages beautifully. So every year they tap 6 years' worth of Mad Elf, and you can try, compare and contrast, and you will still be able
nice.
To for probably about a week.
Okay.
What happens to a beer throughout the aging process?
Okay. Brian Short is now with us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Brian is Trogues Independent, with Trogues Independent Brewing. Brian, welcome to KDKA Radio. Good to have you.
Hello.
Brian, are you there?
Great to hear your voice. You there?
Hello.
Do me a favor, Andrew. Call Brian back. I'm not sure what just happened, but whoever else tries to call in, leave them be. We're going to try to get Brian back on. Somebody else tried jumping
Let's
on
get
his
Brian
line.
On. It's a wild and chaotic times in the beer world before the holidays.
It
These
is.
Things are bound to happen.
You would think that I've already tapped into the six-pack that you'd left for me this afternoon, which I greatly appreciate. Thank you very much.
You know, without you having the beer in front of you, what's the point?
That's what I was thinking, and I was so happy to find out that you were thinking exactly the same way, that you would make it a point to make a special delivery of the six-pack force. So as we're trying to get Brian back on the line, can we talk briefly about the beers that we'll be discussing this evening?
Yeah, I mean, well, for one, for starts, we are doing Mad Elf.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll be following with another Pennsylvania brewery, Victory Brewing Company, and the Merry Monkey. We'll
yes.
be talking to Jessica. One of the other underlying themes here is kind of a rep roundup. If you've been paying attention, previous episodes, we've spoken almost exclusively with brewers. This time we're bringing it home. We have four people who live in the greater Pittsburgh area. One of them, not so much. He lives across the border in Ohio, but we love him just the same. And there's no place like home for the holidays. So we're going to talk to reps, people who work for the brewery in our area, who do events, who walk around and talk about their brewery's beer and why you should drink it.
Okay, let's
so
get this.
Brian Short, who we'll be getting to, is one of those people.
And Brian is back with us. Brian, welcome to KDKA Radio. I am so sorry about the earlier mix-up.
All good. Happy to be here, guys. Happy to be here.
And, Brian, how would you describe the scene inside These Dogs right now?
I would describe the scene as 'tis the season. It is jovial. People are happy. December is here, and people are ready to celebrate. You know, ready for the holidays.
It's festive. Can we agree on that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So as the official Trogues Brewery representative, what would you have to add to the conversation about Mad Elf? How many years has the brewery been making Mad Elf?
So this past year, in July, we celebrated our 25th year making beer here in Pennsylvania. And Mad Elf turned 20 this past November. So it's been 20 years of Mad Elf.
So next year, Mad Elf will be old enough to drink.
It will be legally allowed to consume alcohol.
Hey, Brian, help me out here for a second, because I'm looking at the label right now. I noticed the 11% alcohol by volume, but I also noticed that you are recommended to serve this in a chalice. Is that just for imagery, or is there a flavor sensation, an aromatic sensation that comes best while having this beer in a chalice?
Well, I would say yes to both of your questions. Chalice is a nice way to show off the pour, also highlight the, like, sort of ruby red color that you get off the Mad Elf.
Mm-hmm.
And also, specifically, it's more so for, in the bar world, it is a way to regulate it as a 12-ounce pour versus a 16-ounce pour.
Okay.
Because as an 11% beer, it's not a beer that would be very responsible to be poured in a 16-ounce pint glass at a bar.
What can you tell us about the beginnings of Mad Elf and how it came about that we have this holiday ale brewed with cherries and honey? What can you tell us?
So Chris and John Trugner, who are the co-founders and owners of Trogues Independent Brewery, they started in 1997. And back then, they were a lot of craft beers that were being made were typically larger, higher, bigger ABV beers, and they kind of came up with this idea of wanting to create like a holiday-themed ale. And at that time, there were less than 3,000 breweries in the entire country, and so they were like kind of at the forefront of the idea of basically creating something that reminded people of the holiday Christmas season. And so they were like, you know, they thought that, you know,
sometimes holidays can be stressful, families can be stressful, you know, all the different things that come with the holiday season. So they figured, let's crank up a big Belgian beer and, you know, make something that makes being with family and loved ones tolerable. So that's sort of the gist of how Belgian or how Mad Elf came to be.
Gene?
Yes?
I ask away, Gene. Whatever question you have next for Brian.
Yeah, well, you know, something I wanted to add on why you'd serve it in a goblet or chalice. As I had previously said, Belgium is right next to France. They apply a lot of winemaking techniques to the making of beer as a result. And why not elevate the status of beer and give it a nice stem, make you feel good about sipping at it, I think.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So, Brian, how's it going with Mad Elf in general in Western Pennsylvania?
Well, I like to say this is the beer that signs my paychecks, despite the fact that this beer is only available for 2.5 months out of the year. This is one of the three highest selling beers of all the Troch's portfolio. So Mad Elf means busy, 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 busy for a Troch's rep.
Nice. It's a very busy time for you, and I thank you for your busyness in my sector.
I appreciate your support, Gene.
Brian, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming on with us and joining us. Brian Short, once again, Troch's Independent Brewing and Mad Elf, and it is absolutely delicious. There's no denying that.
It's a sipper. It's a sipper.
It really is. With 11% alcohol, you better believe it's a sipper.
It lets you know.
Yes, it does. All right, we're going to pause here for a moment.
Okay.
Go ahead. One final thought on Mad Elf.
Well, and if you can get to these six packs and dogs in Regent Square, you can see what happens to beer with the addition of age. They have 6 years worth here. It's delightful.
What time are they open till tonight?
That's a very good question. I want to say probably about 10 p.m.
Okay, good. That way anybody who's listening may be able to swing location. By.
You're more than welcome.
All right.
Gene sent you.
Definitely. Well, no doubt about that one. Gene, do me a favor. Hold tight right there. We're coming back with Victory's Merry Monkey. Jessica Guerrera, Artisanal Beverage Ventures. Jessica's next right here on In the Beer Garden on KDK Radio. Gene Rybnicki once again joining us in the Beer Garden is what you're listening to, and Victory Merry Monkey. I got to tell you, Gene, maybe one of the best spots I've ever heard for beer, period.
It was beer inspired.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I believe that Jessica is on the line with us right now. Once again, Jessica Guerrera with Artisanal Beverage Ventures and Victory's Merry Monkey. Jessica, welcome to KDKA Radio. Good to have you.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Hey, Jess.
Hey, Gene. What's up?
Your voice, as always. I'm about to crack open this Merry Monkey.
Sorry, what was that?
There we go. So,
ready?
Merry Monkey is our second beer.
Yes.
In our holiday beer extravaganza. It is a proud member of the Victory Monkey family, amongst whom include Golden Monkey, Sour Monkey, the relatively new Berry Monkey, and the three-year-old Merry Monkey. Merry Monkey is made for the holidays. It's a festive ale. Jess?
Yes.
What can you tell us about this?
You're right, Gene. It is a festive ale. It's a Belgian-style holiday ale. It actually has the base of Golden Monkey, which is kind of cool. And you will find notes of cranberry, orange peel, cinnamon, and nutmeg, which will finish off very nicely for that holiday feel.
So now Belgian style ale is what Golden Monkey is, and I do believe it's the number one faux Belgian or Belgian style ale made in America. That is correct. Mm-hmm. This is a variant of that, a seasonally appropriate variant of that. Elevated alcohol content, a goblet or chalice would also be appropriate vessel to pour this into,
It is also a sipper. Did you crack yours open, Mr. Mangino?
I did crack mine open. I got to tell you, I have a case of this at home, and my wife and I have been just going through it. It's an absolutely wonderful beer. We were over at the beer distributorship a couple of days ago, saw it sitting there, and thinking, we got to get ourselves some of this, and looking forward to finishing it off, and Jessica going back and getting another one, too.
Oh, good. Well, glad to hear it. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
Makes it very special that it only comes once a year.
Yeah, it only comes once a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful beer.
Yes.
But once again, it's a sipper, not unlike the beer we just had.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find it anywhere throughout the city, at all grocery stores, finer distributors, finer bars and restaurants. And you can also find other monkeys elsewhere as well. One such monkey that I've recently heard about, Jessica, people are making a cocktail with the golden monkey.
Yeah, it's called a monkey mosa. Have you ever heard of it?
I've heard of a mimosa. Is it anything like that at all?
It is, but it packs just a little bit more of a punch and gives you a little more flavor than just doing the champagne.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same idea. You take some golden monkey, and then you add as much orange juice as you'd like. I myself just like a little bit of a little tad.
And who around town? Where can I find somebody making a monkey mosa?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Gene. We actually have a spot called Porky's Bar and Grill in Aetna, and they are featuring the monkey mosa during their Sunday brunches for $7.
Very cool.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you're hesitant to attempt any mixology at home, you can leave it up to professionals and go to Porky's in Aetna.
Yeah. And grab some delicious brunch. They actually have their menu on their website, so you know what to look forward to when you head in there to accompany your monkey mosa.
Jessica, can you tell us anything about how Merry Monkey came into being?
You know what? I'm not really sure exactly. I think that they wanted to just add to the monkey family, and they felt that this was an avenue that was something they could explore.
Mm-hmm.
The monkey family is one of those successful families of brands, and they wanted to add a Christmas element.
Yeah, and I think you did a great job with it. I mean, you got cranberry, cinnamon, nutmeg, a little bit of orange peel. It is delicious. It packs a little bit of a punch. And at the same time, Gene, with the orange peel, I think you can add refreshing at the same time.
Yeah, it really, there's no reason to believe that it is 10% alcohol by volume.
Nope.
No, not at all. No. And I would say refreshing as well. You don't really, the orange peel isn't overpowering. I don't think actually any of the seasonal ingredients are overpowering. It's very smooth. And again, like you said, you can't really tell it's 10%, which can be very dangerous. So I would think best enjoyed at home in large amounts of quantity.
And Belgium is kind of the Mad Hatters of the beer world. Whereas the Germans have had a purity law for more than 500 years, and the English are pretty precise with what they do and strict. Belgium, you know, being coastal, being having ports of trade, getting all kinds of spices coming in, we're never afraid to add things to a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a take on that, a fine example of that. At American beer prices, I might add, because once you ship things across the pond.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Then there's an importer involved. Belgian beer tends to cost substantially more than American beer, especially American-made Belgian-style beers, which is his one.
Yeah. But no, you're right, Gene. Actually, our Belgian style Golden Monkey is the base for all of our monkeys. You know, you take the Belgian base for sour, and then you take that sour, and we added berries for the Berry Monkey, and then we took the Golden Monkey as a base for the Merry Monkey. So, like you said, it's a very versatile style.
And you know, staying true to the zeitgeist of Belgium, you guys aren't afraid to experiment with this fine base, which I don't know. It's not the first beer that Victory made. What's it, like the fourth or fifth? This beer has some history to it. It's almost as old as the brewery.
The Merry Monkey?
Golden Monkey, the base.
Oh, Golden Monkey? Oh, yeah. No, yeah. No, it was definitely one of the first beers that they made
along with Fest
Beer. Fest Beer was one of the first ones they made as well, and Hop Devil. But the Belgian style was up there too.
And it stuck. It carved out a name for itself. And, you know, through the miracle of creativity, this beer, actually the base, allows for a lot of creativity. And this is just one fine example of that.
It sure is.
It had bottle-aged, you know, with a cork and cap and a little bit of yeast added in the bottle, method champenois, like a wine bottle, Golden Monkey. Mm-hmm. There's been White Monkey. I can't even name all the monkeys in the monkey family, but keep them coming, please.
Jessica Guerrero, once again, with Artisanal Beverage Ventures and Victory's Merry Monkey. If you've not grabbed yourself a six-pack, go and get one on the way home tonight. You are absolutely going to love it. Jessica, thank you very much for your time this evening.
You're very welcome. Thanks again for having me.
All right, you are very welcome, too. Gene, hold tight right there. We'll come back with more in just a moment after news headlines on KDK Radio with In the Beer Garden. You are listening to In the Beer Garden. I'm Angino, your host, Gene Rybnicki, joining us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. He is out and about having himself a grand old time. And for anyone just joining us, Gene, where are you?
You know, I've moved to a more secure location in Regent Square. Thanks for asking.
Okay.
Gene from Vicini Distributing Company, beer since 1933, checking in. I'm your man in the field on this holiday beer extravaganza. I was at These Dogs, as you heard earlier, where we were featuring 6 years worth of Mad Elf. We clicked over to Jessica in Greensburg to check in with some Victory product, and we are about to cross the border into Ohio. I am safely in the office at McBroom Distributing in Regent Square, where you can find all these fine beers. And I'm about to crack open an Anderson Valley Winter Solstice and share it with our friend Stu Schindewolf, who is the local, and that's in quotation marks. I was making him in there when I said that. Anderson Valley rep. He is located right across the border, right across the border in Akron, Ohio. But he comes here willingly and frequently to sell Anderson Valley Brewing Company beer. And with the winter solstice, why it's the holiday beer extravaganza, it's dark right now. It's been dark for quite some time. we are exactly 20 days away from the actual winter solstice, and we are moments away from the winter solstice ale.
Well, Stu is joining us right now on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Stu Schindewolf, Anderson Valley Brewing Company, and the Winter Solstice Ale. Stu, welcome to KDKA Radio and In the Beer Garden.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on tonight. Great to be here, and excited to open up my can of Winter Solstice here as well. So I'm going to do that right now, actually. You heard me crack, possibly?
It sounds good.
I'm ready to roll.
Sounds
here.
Authentic. Your story checks out.
Yeah, for anybody, I got to ask this question first. Can you explain to me the label and the imagery here with the grizzly bear and the antlers?
I can try. So that story goes kind of in the valley. It's kind of like a valley legend here that our original owner, Ken Allen, he stumbled across a garage sale type situation and found the bust of a bear head with deer antlers at the end of a driveway, and kind of had the idea to incorporate that as our mascot. So his name's actually Barkley the Beer, Barkley the legendary beer, and we say he's the best beer in the field because he's the only beer in the field. So it's certainly been incorporated into a lot of beer fest shirts and just beer shirts in general over the years, but we are proud to be kind of the originators of that.
Oh, that's good stuff.
And if you were to genetically crossbreed a bear, B-E-A-R, and a deer, D-E-E-R,
mm-hmm.
you might come up with a beer.
Indeed.
That makes all the sense in the world.
There you go.
And I've only had two beers so far.
Welcome to the club, my friend. So, Stu and I had the distinct pleasure of going to Anderson Valley together once, and it's important to tell you about Anderson Valley. Unlike today, back in the day, circa when the brewery opened, Stu, when's that?
So 1987 was the year that we were founded.
1987. In the mid to late 80s, and you wanted to throw your hat in the ring of making beer. You were exceedingly unique, and you basically just made beer where you were. And Anderson Valley, or Boonville in Anderson Valley, where the brewery is located, you would fly in from here to San Francisco, get in a car, drive about 2 hours north on normal roads, and then you would drive 40 minutes clinging to mountains to go 8 miles as the crow flies to get to Anderson Valley. So it's not an easy hit. You're not getting out of the airport and you walk right into Anderson Valley. It's a trek. You really have to want to go there. And it's like a Shangri-La amongst breweries. It is unique. It is off in the middle of what appears to be seemingly nowhere. And you are rewarded for having made the effort to get to Anderson Valley. So this beer we're about to enjoy is based on an English-style winter warmer, a relatively deep ruby hue, malt backbone, and it's spiced with a secret blend of spices. And now, if you know, California doesn't have the crazy winters, for the most part, as we have in western Pennsylvania. And it shows in the beer. It's an easy drinker. It's pleasing. Stu, would you like to add anything about this beer at this juncture?
Yeah,
or correct me if I was wrong.
Certainly a very different, winter warmer style beer. This has long been a favorite of craft beer drinkers in western Pennsylvania. Western PA is actually our largest seasonal market outside of our home state of California, which is always really fun. We do sell quite a bit of this beer in the area there, and it seems to be enjoyed by many. Just a really easy going, to me, kind of reminds me of toasted marshmallows. It's not overly spiced, very, very lightly spiced. Similarly, it's sweet, but it's not overly sweet as well. So just a really easy going one that, both a 6.9% ABV as well. So certainly packs a little punch there as well.
Very nice. I'm also noticing and looking at the can that you also have your brewery is solar powered. So people can actually feel good, not only the great taste of the beer, but also feel good about drinking the beer too at the same time.
Yeah, indeed. You know, we really are proud of our environmental efforts, and it's something that we like to talk about and something that we, you know, I mean, it's just good practice in general. We are the first solar-powered brewery in the world. This year, I believe, actually, we started to actually generate, you know, some power that we gave back to the community. So that's always nice as well when we can give back to the Valley. It's a very special place, and we want to keep it that way. We want to keep it healthy, you know, keep things moving in the right direction out there. We also boast a self-contained water treatment system on the brewery's property as well. So we get to recycle a lot of our water that we don't use to actually make our beer, or that goes into the beer that you're drinking there. And then we also installed a nitrogen generator as well, which has reduced our CO2 usage by over 70%. You know, we do a lot of grain recycling, and then we're continuing to work on our package, you know, being as recycled as possible. And, you know, really just trying to improve the sustainability efforts there as well. So
yeah,
quite a lot going on, and we're always looking for new ways that we can become more involved in that space.
You guys no longer bottle your beer, for example. It's all cans moving forward.
That is one, you know, one way as well. We've really tried to do away with glass. Actually, we did our last run of Boont Amber bottles, which is our flagship beer, and that's a beer that we've seen in bottles for ever since we've, you know, been around. So certainly a lot of change there, and cans are the way forward here for us.
Why is that? Because my understanding is that glass is infinitely recyclable the same way that aluminum is. What was the decision that it was best to go to aluminum for you guys?
Well, you know, from what I understand, quite a lot of municipalities are actually moving away from recycling glass.
Okay.
For me here in Akron, Ohio, if I want to recycle my glass, I have to actually drive out to my mom's place about 20 minutes away, and then she can recycle it there. So quite a lot of areas are actually going away from that. From what I've heard, it's just not really as cost effective. So thus, you know, kind of harder, you know.
No, that's a valid point. Even though they can recycle glass over and over again, you're right. I got to bring my glass all the way into work just for a convenient place to drop off the glass.
Pittsburgh proper as well doesn't want your glass anymore.
Say one more time.
And cans are better for the beer, ultimately. They also, another sidecar on Anderson Valley Brewing Company in Boonville, you can't drive an 18-wheeler into town. All their beer is made, packaged, palleted, put on box trucks, and delivered to a depot near the highway. So it transports easier than bottled beer. It takes up less space. You can get more beer on a pallet.
Wow.
More ergonomic.
I like that. All right. Makes all the sense in the world to me.
And once again, to wrap up this beer, Western Pennsylvania consumes more Anderson Valley Winter Solstice than anywhere outside of California.
Yep.
It's an easy go-to. It's easier in comparison to the last two beers that we had.
Mm-hmm.
It's more sessionable. It has a lot less alcohol. And it's really quite easy drinking.
It sure is. Winter Solstice Seasonal Ale by Anderson Valley Brewing Company. And once again, Stu is joining us. Stu Schindewolf is joining us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Stu, thank you very much for spending some time with us this evening.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Have yourself
Cheers,
a wonderful you. Evening. Gene, do me a favor. Hold tight right there. We have one more beer to try and one more guest, Scott Ressler with Bell's Brewing Company, and a very special Christmas ale. It's up next on In the Beer Garden on KDKA Radio. I'm Angino. You are listening to In the Beer Garden with your host, Gene Rybnicki. And Gene is joining us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline this evening. And Gene, as a refresher for everybody who was just listening, we've already talked about Mad Elf with Throgs Independent Brewing, Brian Short joining us earlier, also Jessica Guerrera, Artisanal Beverage Ventures with Victory's Merry Monkey, and just had on just a moment ago Stu Schindewolf with Anderson Valley Brewing and the Winter Solstice Ale. And coming up now, Scott Ressler, Bell's Brewing Company, with a very special Christmas ale.
It's all true. And to compare and contrast, if you recall, or even if you don't, the first two beers we had were Belgian-style Christmas ales. Something odd that occurs in Belgium. You know what kind of Christmas beer they like?
No.
Scottish-style ales for Christmas.
Really?
Yeah. And a lot of breweries will import Scotsmen to come in and brew a Scottish-style ale. It's just, you know, vastly different from the things they make at home.
Okay.
And that tends to be, like, the official Christmas style in Belgium. And Bell's Christmas Ale was invented by Larry Bell, I don't even know how many years ago. And it, while it says Christmas Ale on it, the bottle has a Christmas tree on it, we know it's a Scotch Ale. So the last three beers have all had additives. Not artificial additives, cherries, wild honey, mm-hmm. orange peel, a blend of spices. In Belgium, they like to take a break from that for Christmas, and they just want a Scotch Ale.
Wow.
Which is, you know, low in hops, malty, interestingly malty, complex malty, slightly elevated alcohol content, and, you know, a traditional Scottish-style ale. And with that, let's say hello to Scott.
Scott Ressler, once again, Bell's Brewing Company. Scott, welcome to KDKA Radio and In the Beer Garden.
Well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
And welcome to the randomness that is this Christmas beer extravaganza roundup.
Well, you know, I've known you for a long time, Gene, so I guess I'm not really super surprised.
Yeah, you're batting cleanup, brother.
That's right.
You're going to drive it all in. So,
I hope so.
I've already cracked open the Christmas ale, and I'm about to take a sip, and I hope Mr. Mangino's about to take a sip as well.
Yes.
As they say in Scotland, slán dheabhar, which is, you know, to your health or cheers, the traditional toast. Cheers.
Cheers.
Now, this is a deeper ruby hue than the previous beers. It has a hint of malty sweetness to it. It's pretty darn complex. Scott, what are you getting out of this beer?
Well, I think the first thing to make note of when you're talking about this beer is that the malt backbone that it has really comes through with a lot of those caramely burnt sugar notes. And then immediately after that, you're going to get a little bit of a fruitiness, dark fruits, you know, plums, figs, but again, not overpowering. I've always said at Bell's, we make traditional styles of beer really well. And I think this is just one of the most prime examples of that philosophy.
It is an exceedingly balanced Scottish style ale. And it's coming in at 7.5% ABV. And there's a sidecar to the story of that. In Scotland, long story short, we'll forget years and people's names, et cetera. They imposed a tax on beer. So breweries said, okay, if you're imposing a flat tax on beer, we're going to make beer stronger. At which point the government said, if you're going to make beer stronger, we're going to tax beer according to its strength. As a result, the taxation and the strength of the beer have been inextricably linked. This would be a wee heavy Scotch ale. coming in at 7.5, and it would be considered a 90 shilling in terms of taxation Scotch ale. So there's 60 shilling, there's 120 shilling, which are really strong. 60 shilling would be rather weak. This one's kind of in the middle. For those of you listening at home who are interested in the history of Scottish beer and the subsequent taxation of Scottish beer.
I love the stuff that you bring to the table every week, every time we do this, Gene. It's an education. No, it's an education. It really is. I'm guessing a lot of people go to a beer and just taste it and go, you know what? I like it. I don't know why I like it. I just know I like it. You explain why it is that it's so well-liked.
Well, and liking it is really good enough for our ultimate purpose. But as you have discovered over the course of time, whatever you want to get out of beer, whether it's science, history, it's all incorporated in beer, which is one of the ultimate appeals of beer to me. So, Scott, how long have you been with Bell's?
So I have been with Bell's nearly 3 years at this point. Previously, for the viewership, you know, I worked with Gene for several years at Vicini Distributing Company, so I'm very familiar with the product before I got hired, and yeah, it's been a great ride. Couldn't have asked for a better company to work for.
Scott, when did you realize that beer was going to be a career move for you? I mean, you know, it's one thing that people say, okay, I want to try this out, see if this kind of works, maybe get a job, a little bit of a seasonal thing maybe, but then it's turned into a career. What was it for you to put it over the top?
Well, for me, honestly, it was I came from the restaurant industry, and I worked there for a very long time, ran a couple of successful beer programs, and once that position ran its course, you know, you kind of come to a point where you have to take some stock in the things you're good at. And I had some relationships in the beer industry, and I loved beer. I knew I loved beer, and I loved working with it. It was mm-hmm. the favorite part of my job. And so I was fortunate enough to get an opportunity at Vicini, and that is the moment. When I left the restaurant industry, that was the moment I knew that I wanted to do something in beer, just a different something.
And then Bell's. What particularly about Bell's, the maker of the Christmas ale we're talking about right now?
So I went to college in northern Indiana state, as you have to qualify when you live in Pennsylvania. And I live right on the border of Michigan. So when I was in college in the late 90s, early 2000s, I was drinking Bell's then. And I fell in love with Oberon initially, and then later Two Hearted. And when I worked at Vicini, Bell's kind of became my pet brewery. Like, mm-hmm. this is the one that I want to sell the most of, regardless of incentive or, you know, seasonality. It's just like, I love this brewery. I love this beer. And so that's when I was like, yeah, this is the place. This is my dream job. Working for Bell's is my dream job, and I got the opportunity to do it.
Very, very nice. Very nice.
The one thing you can say about Bell's is balance. Always balanced. Always true to the style and exceedingly balanced, like beautifully balanced. And hopefully you're sensing that there in the studio.
Definitely, without a doubt. Scott Ressler, Bell's Brewing Company and their Christmas Ale. Scott joining us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Scott, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. You have yourself a wonderful night. And, Gene, we have less than a minute here as we wrap things up on this holiday edition of In the Beer Garden, and four really fantastic beers. Mad Elf, Merry Monkey from Victory, Mad Elf from Trogues, and then Winter Solstice Ale with Anderson Valley Brewing, and we're just wrapping things up with Bell's Brewing Company and their Christmas Ale.
So So to wrap things up, ultimately, we've had four fine holiday beers this hour. Recent studies suggest that beer makes an excellent Christmas gift.
Oh, good thinking.
And there's still some available at a finer distributor near you.
That's a wonderful idea. You're not sure what to get somebody? Why not get one of these four beers? They will absolutely love you for it. And if you're invited to a party, you wonder, what can I bring? Stop on over and get yourself a case of one of these beers. Or a
six-pack.
Right. You can't go wrong with that either. Gene, always great talking with you. I'm looking forward to the next time we're able to do this together in studio. It's been a few months, but love being able to be back on with you anyway.
Right back at you. And happy holidays. Cheers. I hope you enjoy. You may have noticed I slid you a little extra something-something in the sampler pack.
I did notice that. Thank you very much.
That's strictly from the home studies for your continued education in the realm of beer.
I do. I it means a lot to me. I will do my best to do a thorough study and report back to you. Gene Rybnicki.
From Vicini Distributing Company in Millville.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.